Porter for their kind invitation here this evening. It's lovely to be with you all here this evening in a lovely evening such as this. Alan's right. He's maybe heard me talk more about pigs in the past and things like that, but it's great that I have a testimony as well to talk about. And, you know, I was talking to a lady today, and I was saying that I was coming here to testify tonight, and I was saying I was a little bit nervous, feeling a bit nervous about coming to testify. And she said, she didn't really put my nerves at ease. She said, you know, that wouldn't be my calling now to come and testify. She says, my calling would be to go and make a cup of tea, or I could maybe cut fruit out the back. And, you know, I just thought, I wish that was my calling tonight. But, you know, doors open, opportunities arise, and, you know, it's great to be used and serve the Lord in whatever way the Lord desires. I was talking to another man one day, and he would serve the Lord on a full-time basis and does a lot of visiting and does a lot of speaking, preaching, and has used the Lord greatly. And he said to me one day, he said, you know, he wished sometimes, why can't I just sit somewhere in the corner in a pew and keep a pew warm? But he says, you know, the Lord has given so many opportunities that I can't do that. So I trust that we're not just sitting here keeping a pew warm tonight, but that there's work for us to do with our hands, with our mouths, with our lives, all throughout the week. So I pray that you do that. Let us just maybe come to pray and ask for the Lord's guidance upon us before we start to share. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for your wonderful blood shed on Calvary. We thank you, Lord, for these songs we've been hearing about tonight of your salvation, Lord, a gift full and free. Lord, help us to grasp that. Help us to realize, Lord, that we need to trust in you. We need to believe. We need to follow you. We need to ask for your forgiveness, Lord. We need to ask you to commend our lives and use us, Lord. Lord, that we would die to ourselves, Lord, and that you would live in us. We ask, Lord, that you would be with us this evening, Lord. In your mercy, Lord, that you'd even be pleased to speak through some of the words, Lord, that I would say, and all the words, Lord, that you would use them, Lord, for your glory, and that your Spirit would be pleased to come and walk amongst us, to intercede for us, Lord, to speak with us, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that your Son sits at your right hand, Lord, and we can trust in him and we can pray, Lord, and he speaks to you, the Father, on our behalf. We thank you for him and his precious blood. So help us, Lord, throughout the rest of the meeting, Lord, help us to listen for your Spirit and that you would speak to hearts and change lives, we ask in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Just want us to turn together to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, and it's chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. Some of these verses will be familiar, and then a couple might not be just so familiar toward the end. But Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 10. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. My apologies. That always gets me when I look at the top of the page there. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make him soul an offering for him, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his land. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge, and my righteousness, and justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Then if we turn over to chapter 55 and verse 10 also. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Verse 12 continues on, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his word. You know, just in the prayer meeting also, I noticed there in the words on the wall, it says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And you know, the Lord just wants us to seek him. And you know, I came to that realization whenever I was a teenager. I was brought up, went to church and Sunday school, and from an early age I would have known that I needed Christ as my Savior. But you know, it wasn't until I was in my teenage years that I began to get a realization of my sin. And I knew I needed to have something dealt with. I knew I needed to have my sin dealt with in my life. And you know, maybe I'm like you. Maybe I was like you are now. I came up through church, as I said, and would have believed that Jesus came and died on the cross. I believed that Jesus went to Calvary. I believed that his blood was shed for me and my sins. And you know, I believed that that then he rose again even. But I still wasn't saved. And you might say, well, how could you believe all those things and not be saved? Well, I can tell you that I wasn't saved, and I believed all those things. Because, you know, there's something more that we have to do as believers. There's something more that we have to do, and that is that we have to repent, and we have to turn away from our sin. You know, the Bible says even the demons believe and tremble and shake at the truths of what the God has says that you know that Jesus is the Son of God. And you know, we can believe that and we cannot be saved. We could be lost. But you know, it's great whenever God speaks to you into your life. And I remember being at youth fellowship meetings and realizing that God was speaking to me. Realizing that God was speaking into my life and realizing that I had to do something about my sin. And you know, I heard it recently spoke of, and it was so applicable to me in my story, where a man described repenting as being heading along one direction and then turning away from that and going in a different direction. And for me, I was heading one direction, but I knew I needed to repent of my sins, and I did that. Whenever I did that, then I was turned and I was going in a different direction. And then, on that direction, I had to look to Christ and believe that Christ died on the cross. But not only that, I had to look to Christ and trust him and trust in his atoning blood. And it was that trust that I had not put in Christ. And it was just in a meeting, a youth fellowship meeting, a man was speaking and he described someone like me. He described, maybe you are not trusting in God. Maybe you have asked God to forgive you. And I had been doing that. Maybe you are like me. I had prayed many times for Christ to save me. I had prayed many times for Christ to forgive me. You wouldn't think that anybody would need to pray more than once, would you? But I prayed many times, but yet I wasn't saved. It wasn't until I trusted in the blood of Christ and trusted in his sacrifice that he died on the cross, that I became saved, and I then started on a new path. And before long, I was able to profess my salvation and profess what God had done in my life. And then the assurance came. The assurance. And maybe you have trusted Christ, but you haven't got assurance. Maybe you have asked Jesus to forgive your sins, but you don't know if he has. Well, I can tell you now, if you go and speak the words that God puts in your mouth and tell someone that you have trusted Christ and that you have asked Christ to forgive your sins and that you take your stand for the Lord, then the peace and the assurance will come upon you. And I am so thankful the Lord did that for me at a young age, and I was kept on a path which took me to Christian meetings. Didn't take me to the pubs and the clubs. And I'm thankful for Christian friends and young people here tonight. It's good to see young people in the meeting, and it's great that you are here. And I would just say to you now, don't give up on Christian company. Seek out Christian friends. Seek out Christian company. Yes, it's good to have friends, but it's good to have Christian friends. And praise the Lord for friends that kept me on a path, that kept me going to Christian meetings. And it was there then that I met my wife after a Christian meeting in Portadown. And it was there that I met Laura Jane. And, you know, it was great because we were able to pray together. We were able to talk about the things of God together. And, you know, we grew then in Christ together. And, you know, I would just plead with any young person here tonight. Maybe you're fed up with your Christian friends. Maybe you're fed up. Maybe you get hurt by some of your Christian friends. And, you know, as Christians, we're not perfect, and we say things and do things maybe that we shouldn't, that doesn't always honour the Saviour. But don't give up on Christian company. Because, you know, there's a world out there that would love to have you and love to destroy you. So just seek out, pray to God, ask him for friends. I know that they in school nowadays, sometimes it can be difficult. But, you know, I went to, as Alan said here, I went to, or met Alan through agricultural circles, and I went to Greenmount College, and I thought to myself, before I went, I had taken my stand for Christ, and I thought to myself, now I'm going to get it difficult here. I know rightly what this is going to be. This is going to be, you know, difficult, because there's going to be a lot of boys here, and they're not going to be following Christ. They're not going to be wanting to do the things that I did. But praise the Lord, in my first day, the Lord brought me across the path of another Christian. And then he told me, he says, you know, that fellow there's a Christian. And then before I knew it, that boy was a Christian, this boy was a Christian. And there was a number of us, I would say 10 or a dozen of us in the 1 year, that were able to build each other up, were able to encourage each other and keep each other along the right path and encourage one another. So don't be afraid, no matter where you go. You know, the Lord is a people. Elijah thought he was all alone. And the Lord had to bring him to a place to show him that there was 7,000 that had not bowed the knee. And so the Lord is a people all over the earth. And no matter where the Lord takes you, don't be afraid. There will be a people for you, and you seek out. You need to seek out those people, the Lord's people. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, it just backs up what I was saying there about trusting the Lord. You know, we need to trust the Lord. It says in verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. You know, Christ has risen from the dead. Christ has risen. He defeated death, you know. And I'm going to talk to you now about how death came into our life. And, you know, Laura Jean and I got married and everything was going well. And we had three beautiful children. And Laura Jean was due to give birth again very soon. And our second wee boy was called Oliver James. And Oliver James just had a little difficulty with his speech, and we'd been attending speech therapy. Not a big deal in that, but there was a suggestion made somewhere along the line that maybe Oliver James could go and get his tonsils out and it might help his breathing whenever he had a cold and things like that. He got it a wee bit difficult with his words and saying and breathing, and it just might help his tonsils and adenoids. So we sought guidance, and we went along that path, and before very long, Oliver James was due to go in to have his tonsils removed, and that came and went, and he was at home again recovering, and everything was going okay. He was getting it a wee bit sore, and we had him back at the doctor's a couple of times just getting checked out. And then one morning, and I was with him, and Laura Jean and I were down having our breakfast, and he just came walking around the corner in the kitchen, and he let a wee cough. And whatever had happened, he started to bleed from his tonsil operation. And we had a number that we were to phone, and we did that and phoned straight away. And by this stage, he was bleeding. The bleeding wouldn't stop. And as you can imagine, there was panic in our house. But they told us to ring an ambulance straight away. The ambulance was on its way, and Oliver James then collapsed. And he collapsed in our arms. But I can say Oliver James did have a peace. We were panicking, but he didn't really panic, I must say. The Lord was with him. And we were working with him, trying to get him to breathe again, because he had stopped breathing. And the ambulance then arrived, and by this stage he was starting to breathe again, and we just were panicking, and the ambulance man came in and lifted him and got him into the ambulance, and before too long we were away down the road like a bullet towards Craigavon. And unknown to me, there was a clot had formed in Oliver James's windpipe with the bleeding. And that was depriving him from oxygen. So the journey from our house to Craigavon was about 30 minutes. And during that time, he deteriorated very rapidly. And they were working with him, and they did what they could. And then by the time we got to Craigavon, they rushed him in. And within a few minutes, you know, they had the clot removed, and he was breathing again normally. And, you know, I was praying and believing that God would restore our wee Oliver James. And, you know, I can say, looking back from now, I can say that, you know, I had an opinion and a view that God was working through our lives. God was in our lives. And I believe that God was protecting our lives. And I know God does protect and will protect and can protect. But, you know, God also sometimes can allow circumstance and things to come into your life that you would not want. And, you know, God wants us to trust him through those difficult times just the exact same way as the good times. It's hard to trust the Lord whenever things are going wrong, isn't it? But I thank the Lord that he was with us. Before very long, Laura Jean was on her way to the hospital as well, and some family members, and you know, the doctors then came to tell us that Albert James was not doing too well. He was not, the clot had deprived his brain of oxygen. And they said that they were going to transfer him to the Royal. And so for the next 3 days, we stayed with Oliver James in the Royal Sick Children's, and we were praying, and we were trusting, and we were hoping that Oliver James could be restored back to health again. But every test and so on that would happen was worse and worse and worse, until eventually they said to us, you know, Oliver James's brain is very badly damaged, and that there's not going to be any return here, and he's going to deteriorate very rapidly. And we were shocked, because, you know, we can have our views, and we can have our hopes, and we can have our thinking. But, you know, the Lord says, my ways are not your ways. And, you know, the Lord was with us even at that time. And we can remember times sitting together and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, being with us. And you might think that's strange, but I can testify to that tonight. And we're thankful for, even through difficult times, the Lord being with us. Even through the loss of our wee boy, the Lord being with us. And, you know, then there came an opportunity. There's lots of choices, and things have to be done, and things have to be made, and decisions have to be made. And my brother helped a little bit, and he's a doctor, I asked him one day. One time we were just talking. I said, you know, could we donate any of Oliver James's organs? And he said, well, I don't know. You could ask. And we asked then, and very quickly then the ball started to roll to go down this path of organ donation. And, you know, I hardly knew anything about organ donations, but, you know, there was an opportunity to do this, and we thought, you know, we were given choices, and we went with that. And before very long then, after Oliver James had passed away, we started to receive these letters, you know, of thanks from people. Letters of thanks of how they had received Oliver James's organs, or how they had received Oliver James's heart. One family said their wee girl received his heart. And another family, their wee boy received his lungs. Another family thanking us for the gift of Oliver James's liver. Another family for his small intestine. And even a man in his 40s who had a family of his own received his kidneys. And, you know, in the bottom of some of these letters, there was things like, you know, talking about the precious gift of life that Oliver James had given to these people. But we knew that the gift that Oliver James would give was only for this life. But, you know, there's a more precious gift of life that we have, and that we can trust in, the gift of salvation for eternal life. And so it just reminded us of that. It was wonderful. Then, a short time after that, we received a phone call, because, you know, the way you give a wee bit of money in lieu of flowers to a charity or so on, and we give some of them, we give the money in lieu of flowers to the work of FAME, Friends of Africa Missionary Endeavour, where Rodney Davison had just went out from Cookstown shortly before that, and went to Kenya to work full time in that work, and we just give the wee gift of money to that, and received a phone call one day. But I'll tell you a little bit of the background. Whenever we give the organs for donation, There was a list, you see, that you could tick. And you could go down through these organs, and it came to Oliver James's eyes. And, you know, you can choose whether to donate or not to donate. And Lord James said to me just at that moment in time, just don't let them touch his eyes. And so I said that was fine, and we just skipped over that one and went on to the next. And time went past, and we started to receive these letters, and particularly Laura Jane, and it was starting to play in my mind too. Particularly Laura Jane was starting to feel annoyed. Why did I not give Oliver James his eyes? Why did I not do that? And it was starting to play in her mind and annoy her as to why something like that, why she held something back like that. Why did we not give, you know, surely his eyes were not going to be any use to him. Why did I do that? And I used to try and comfort Laura Jane and say, no, don't worry, listen, our minds weren't in the right place, and we didn't know what we were doing, and that was a decision we made, and don't worry yourself about that. But then we got a phone call one day from Reverend Alan Dunlap, and I didn't even know Alan at this time. And he went on to say, well, thank you for this wee gift of money for fame in lieu of the flowers of Oliver James. And he said, we just want to let you know, he said, just by the way, he said, there was a little boy there in the orphanage recently, and he needed an operation on his eyes. And he said, we just decided to use some of the money that you had given to fame to help that little child with his eyes. And, you know, he didn't know exactly what he had said, but to us, we were able to rejoice, you know, that Oliver, the Lord did not need Oliver James's eyes to help anybody. And it was a thing, it was something where we then could realize that it was not us that was in control, but it was God that was in control of all of this. And isn't it lovely that we can trust the Lord and know that he's in control in our lives? And we were able to then rejoice in what the Lord was doing. And we knew that these verses in Isaiah chapter 55, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, that it shall not return unto me void. See, I was given these verses because, you know, this was the Lord's doing. This was not my doing. It was not something that I would have seen as being possible, that the Lord could have turned this around. But the Lord was in this. And so time went past, and then I'll tell you a little bit about what we've been doing since then. And through the death of Oliver James, there's been lots of opportunities. There's been opportunities like this to testify about what the Lord's been doing, and Laura Jane has done that. I think she's maybe done that even here. And that has helped her greatly, even just sharing what the Lord's done in her life. But we went one day to a charity tractor run over at Ben Burb there, the Livingstones. I'm sure some of you might know those guys. And they were holding an event in memory of their mother, I think it was, and they're raising money for a charity. And just on the way home, I said to Laura Jane, you know, maybe we could do something like that, because if you knew where I lived and you knew the amount of farmers around me and the amount of tractors they have, it would be no problem doing a tractor run. So we began to organise this, and before very long, you know, there was a lot of people interested, and it was lovely. We held the first tractor run, and there was a great turnout of people and a great support, and we were able to send out a great sum of money to fame, and it was a blessing to us as a family. And we were able to turn, you know, what was a sad situation into something that was joyful. We were able to, you know, the Bible speaks to that the Lord will turn their mourning into joy, and the Lord can do that. And maybe here tonight, maybe you're in mourning, and I don't know your situation. Maybe you're in mourning, but I can tell you the Lord can turn your mourning into joy. And he turned our mourning into joy in so many ways. Now, that's not to say that there's not difficult days and difficult memories of Oliver James, but there's so many times when we can just testify to what the Lord has done. And then just even more recently, we got involved in a wee mission that was happening up the road, and it was lovely to hear a mission mentioned tonight. And I'm just saying this to encourage you. We got involved with a wee mission up the road from us, and we started to pray into that and started to get behind it and invite people and get people motivated for that. And it was lovely to see people then coming into the hall. And I want to share just a number, just quickly, a couple of people that got saved through that wee mission. There was, first of all, a wee girl, or young lady, who had got into the world. She had trusted Christ, and then she went away to Australia and fell into the ways of the world. She came into the meeting. Her sister was singing, Grace McClintock. You might even know her. She might have sang here. Her sister was singing, Grace, and was sharing, and her husband was testifying. But you could tell that there was something wasn't right, and the Lord was speaking to her. And before very long, she was under conviction, and she got saved. She came back to the Lord, really. I think she had made profession in her younger life, but it didn't come to anything. You know, sometimes we can make profession, but it doesn't really mean anything. And it's good that when we can trust the Lord fully with all of our hearts. Then there was a woman that Laura Jane was friendly with. And, you know, it was good to have a burden for people. And Laura Jane was burdened for this young lady, and she began to befriend her and encourage her, and she started coming out to the meetings. And you could tell she was seeking God. And then she got saved. And then her husband, her brother-in-law, got saved then about a week later. And then we started to really pray for her husband. And then maybe a week or 10 days later, her husband got saved. And then there was a man who had never made profession, and he's gone on in age a bit, maybe. And his wife had died just past in January, and somebody had encouraged him to come into the meetings, and then they'd encouraged him again. And, you know, as soon as he came into the meetings, there was conviction. There was conviction in his life. So please encourage folk. I just want to say that. Encourage people to try and get them out to the meetings. Because you see, if the Lord's working, as soon as you bring them into the meeting, there'll be conviction. If the Lord's word is spoken. So I just want to encourage his folk, please. Know that the Lord is good. The Lord has brought us through. And I can say that we are trusting in the Lord in a new way. In a wonderful way. And that whatever life throws before us, whatever life throws before us, we're going to trust him no matter what. And I pray that you would trust him no matter what life throws before you. Because it's a good job, isn't it, that we don't know what's ahead of us. We mightn't be able to cope with it. But praise the Lord, he's able to make us cope. And thank you very much for listening to us.